Well, we made it. Welcome, everyone. It's Sunday. I've been looking forward to today for the whole week. Yep. Well, hey, my name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Blackhawk Church. And this is Rachel, the director of Blackhawk Kids.
Yep, that's right. Whether you are here for your very first time, if you're a longtime Blackhawker attender, if you are joining us from another city, another state, we just want to say on behalf of everyone at Blackhawk Church, welcome.
Welcome.
We are so glad that you are here today.
Thanks for joining us. And for those of us who have been around for a while, I want to do something a little bit different.
Okay.
So
all right.
Take out your phone or find your phone. And I would like to invite you to text someone and invite them to watch church with you wherever they're at.
That's
or you can post this service to one of your social media platforms. So this is like a really easy, awesome
it's
way
so
to just.
Easy.
Yeah, it's so
you
easy.
You can watch it at the same time
Come
as somebody else.
Come on. Let's
I
take
love
a couple
it.
Seconds. And just
right.
do that right now. Okay, so I am going to text someone,
okay.
watch church with
okay.
me. Boop. Awesome. We did it. That's
All right.
awesome.
Very good. Michael, I see that you texted me. So I am going to watch
cool.
this later. So thanks.
Thanks for the call out,
yeah,
Rachel. She
yeah.
also texted me,
oh.
which
well.
Means we're terrible at this. But when we sit down, we will try to do it better and text someone to have them join us. Well, hey, a few more things for us before we move on. As all of us are probably aware of at this point, there has been a recent mask mm-hmm. policy in Dane County requiring anyone who is indoors with someone that they don't live with to wear a mask. And you'll also notice that, like newscasters, we are not wearing masks when we're speaking on this platform. And that's because those who are watching, who are hard of hearing, they can better understand us and kind of read our lips when our masks are not off. But like everyone who's in this room right now, they are wearing masks. And when we kind of step off of this platform, we will put our masks
yes.
on. This is the mask life that we're living.
I know. And you know what? Like, masks are kind of cool right now. Dude,
they're kind
yours
of cool.
looked really good this morning.
Yeah, mine's,
I've
you know,
good.
I've been getting into mask fashion, but here's the thing. I get a little mask-ny,
oh.
what I call mask acne, but it's fine.
It is an actual thing.
We're moving through it.
All
we're
right.
moving through it, people.
We are going to shift now for a second. If you've been around Blackhawk for a while, you've probably heard us use this phrase. It's part of our mission. It is growing a community to reach a community. We believe in building up the community that we have right here in our church so that we can reach those outside. One of the ways that we do that at Blackhawk is through investing our time and our resources and our energy into our kids. So that's kids programming. That's our volunteer culture around it. We just really believe that kids are the church right now and they matter. And that's kids and students, CAM, all the way up. So as you know, everything has moved online and Blackhawk Kids is no different. We have online programming that is available to you on Sundays and throughout the week so that you can connect with that. But the day that everything moved online was actually a day that we at Blackhawk were going to spend an entire day celebrating our Blackhawk Kids volunteers for the work that they do on Sundays and over the course of a whole year, whether they're behind the scenes, whether they're in person with kids, whether they are writing curriculum behind the scenes. It takes a village to make this happen. So we're going to do something a little different today. We are going to actually watch the Blackhawk Kids 2020 Volunteer Appreciation video just to kind of take us back for a minute to remember what community can look like with our kids and with our volunteers, and also just to help us have sort of a longing for the day that we're going to be able to be together again. So take a second, watch this video, and we'll meet you back here.
Why we brought you here today?
I'm not sure.
I can't say I'm entirely sure.
Have I done something wrong?
Why'd you bring me here? I don't know, because I'm awesome and somebody wanted to take notes.
The board has met and we were just taking a few minutes to see how everything was going. Water?
Yes, please.
Did you backwash your graham crackers in here?
We've taken a look at some of the activities from the last quarter. Here's a copy for your review.
I'm really trying to get better at calling in lines, guys.
This is a grasshopper, and I actually made one myself because I thought it was awesome, and it's got a mouth. You can talk.
You guys know I hate glitter glue. You can use markers. We don't even use paste. Tape. Scotch tape for everybody.
Well, arts and crafts aren't totally my thing. There was a glue stick issue that day, but you know what? I think the message got through, and obviously this is the burning bush.
And tell me about your role on Sunday.
My role on Sunday morning is to come in, love on four-year-olds, tell them that Jesus loves them, God loves them, and the Bible's real.
I say hi, and I welcome the kids, and I take their stickers.
I play with the kids. And then we have a time that we pray together.
I get to hang out with a group of fifth or sixth grade boys and get to dive into the Word of God.
We get to teach the Bible story to the large group of 3, 4, and 5-year-olds.
Well, I get to hang out with awesome first graders and we laugh a lot, we play games, and we learn about the Bible, and they make fun of me.
Share about our contribution to the team.
One word, worship.
I do the best cannonballs into our beanbag chairs.
I try to bring a certain charisma to the table and make everyone laugh and feel welcome.
I bring more four-year-old energy than the rest of my classroom combined.
And tell me about your goals on this year.
Well, my goals this year are to make sure that every kid in my group understands the lesson and just how much God loves them. Like, so much.
That the children understand that the Bible is the true word of God.
Create an environment where it's safe to ask questions, especially about God and who He is.
I want my kids to understand that God is special and mighty. And since they are created in His image, they too are special and mighty.
Well, the board is in agreement here. You're doing a great job.
Thank you for all that you do. We're glad you're part of the team.
These volunteers are awesome.
Hey guys, anyone up for a snack?
Cool, Rachel. So that was the cutest thing that I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
It makes me miss Sundays so much. It
oh
makes
my
me
goodness.
Miss it. Yeah.
For all of you Blackhawk Kids volunteers that are watching Woo! This right now, the hundreds of you, mm-hmm. man, you rock. You are awesome.
You're amazing.
Way to survive that interview or what? Yeah.
It was intense.
It was
very intense.
No, that's great. And we just want to say that Blackhawk Kids Ministry could not do the ministry that they do without you. And in fact, that can be said about every ministry at Blackhawk Church. It takes a village. It takes all of you who are watching this right now, and those of you who are not, it takes all of you to be able to build a community, to reach a community. We can't do this without you. And everyone who has just been so generous with many different things, all of you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you. You are awesome. And actually, next week, we're going to have the opportunity to hear about different ways that we can continue to volunteer and to serve. So next week, you're not going to want to miss that. It's going to be great.
Yep, that's right. So we'll see you back here next week. That's it for us. We're going to hand it over to Trevor to lead the band in worship today.
Thank you, Rachel and Michael. Hello, Blackhawk. Welcome in. So good to be worshiping together this morning. Hey, we serve the God of the impossible. Whether that is in scripture, seeing where God parts the Red Sea, where the walls of Jericho fall, where Lazarus, a dead man, is raised to life through the power of Jesus, or maybe the most miraculous thing, that the power of sin is broken by the cross of Jesus. And so we're going to sing about the greatness of our God, how He can still do anything, even in uncertain times, we can hold on to Him. So let's sing this together.
Just one word,
the darkness has to retreat. And just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. And just one touch, my eyes were open to see. I can't help but believe there's nothing that I got. It's not a mountain that he can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. Oh, in just one word, you heal what's broken inside. In just one word, and you revive it. Just one touch, I feel the power of heaven. And just one touch, my eyes are open to see. My eye can't help but believe there's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. Nothing that our God can't do. Come on. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a prison wall He can't break through. But praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do.
There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise, let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise, let all agree. There's no power like the power. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. Oh, there's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a prison wall He can't break through. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do.
With that in mind, let's sing these words that simply says, all the earth will shout your praise. Our heart will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the
hearts will cry, these bones will sing and pray.
Great and holy, mighty, in control. God, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. your name. Amen. Amen.
Psalm 77.
For the director of music.
For Jeduthun of Asaph, a song.
I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me.
When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted.
I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint.
You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak.
I thought about the former days, the years of long ago.
I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked,
will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again?
Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time?
Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand.
I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago.
I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy.
What God is this great is our God.
You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples.
With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph.
The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed.
The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth.
Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked.
Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen.
You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
Hey, well, welcome everybody back to Black Hawk Church Online in your home, on your device, on your screen, wherever you are right now. So good to have a chance to be with you. My name's Matt. If I've never had a chance to meet you, I'm one of the pastors on staff. And man, I don't know about you, but it's hard to believe this is the last Sunday of July already. Just hard to believe the month of July is over. When I was thinking back over the month just recently, I was thinking about the highlights for my family. One of the highlights in particular actually happened right at the beginning of the month of July, actually on July 3rd, when the Broadway musical Hamilton dropped on Disney Plus. Any other Hamilton fans, can I just get a little love in the chat right now from any of you right now? Man, I tell you, if you've never seen it before, you need to watch it at some point. Hamilton is a Broadway musical about the guy on the $10 bill. Alexander Hamilton, one of our founding forefathers. And the crazy thing about the entire Broadway musical is that it is all done to hip hop and rap music. And for my family, we've been into it really since it came out on Broadway. My family, both of my daughters were actually really into choir and theater and musicals, drama, all that stuff from like middle school all the way through high school. And so back when it came on Broadway, like we were listening to the soundtrack. And then one particular year for Christmas, we decided to get our girls tickets to go see it in Chicago when it was in Chicago. And so we went. Of course, we were kind of in the nosebleed section, you know, in the back way at the top of the theater. And so as we were watching, my mind actually got kind of blown as I was watching the second half. We were about 25 minutes into the second half. And it was at that point that I realized that some of the actors had been playing, who had been playing major characters in the first half, now were playing
completely different major characters in the second half. I had no idea that they were doing that, and it wasn't until 25 minutes in that I realized these were the same people who had been playing different characters. They were so good at what they did. It was as if you were watching two different, completely different characters from the first half of the musical to the second half of the musical, two completely different actors, but it wasn't. And why do I bring that up? Well, today, we are diving into this psalm that we just heard read on the screen just a minute ago, Psalm 77. And the thing about this psalm in particular that's really interesting is that it really could be broken into two halves. And with the way that it reads, you could easily think that it was written by two different authors. We are going to head into Psalm 77. So if you've got your Bibles anywhere nearby, go ahead and grab them and open them up. Grab a pen so you can make notes and underline and do different things like that. And we're going to dive into this psalm. We are in the middle of a series right now called If I'm Honest, where we have been taking a look at the different psalms for the entire summer so far. And the interesting thing about psalms, like really when you think about it, they are poems and songs written by different people based upon the things that were going on back at that particular time. Really, when we stop to think about it with the art form of poems and songs, it's really within that art form that because of it, people are able to, oftentimes to a deeper level, get to the honesty of their feelings and emotions by the way that they write these things out. That's the reason why we came up with the title. And this one in particular today, and let's just say that the writer gets really honest. That writer is a guy named Asaph. Now, we don't know ton about Asaph. Asaph is talked about in the book of First Chronicles. The things that we know about him, he was a Levite. He was incredible at writing poetry. He was a worship leader in the tabernacle. And so he was a spiritual leader back at that time. And just like King David, he was incredibly gifted at poetry, writing songs, and worship leading. And so from what we know of him, he wrote 12 different psalms, 12 of the 150 psalms that are recorded in scripture. He wrote Psalm 50 and then Psalms 73 through 83. And so this week and the next week with Pastor Chris, we're going to get a chance to look at two different psalms of Asaph. Asaph was really descriptive in the way that he wrote. And in this one in particular, he gets really raw from the very beginning. And so let's go ahead and dive into this psalm. Psalm chapter 77, starting with verse 1. Let's read this together. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. Okay, I told you this was raw. What do we see taking place here? Well, it's kind of obvious. Asaph is hurting right now. Now, the thing is, we don't actually know why he's hurting. There are many of the Psalms where actually when you read them, you're able to parallel them with other areas of scripture in the Old Testament and different things that were going on in history in the lives of the author and the people of Israel. But with this one in particular, we don't know what was going on with the people of Israel. We don't know what was going on in the life of Asaph. We just know in particular that in this passage that he was like crying out in a massive way. So he's crying out to God. You know, I mean, he's saying here, God, where are you? Like, I think about it. Asaph, he's doing all the right things. He's crying out to God. He's meditating on God's word. He's spending time in prayer. He's not holding things close. He's opening his arms, saying that he needs God in this moment, coming with open hands. He is completely coming up empty. He goes on to say, you kept my eyes from closing. In other words, rather than, as I turn to you, rather than getting comfort, I'm losing sleep. In fact, this is bothering me to such a deep level, I can't even come up with words to express the pain that I'm going through in this moment. It's just unbelievable to see this taking place. I was so excited, honestly, to get a chance to be able to talk about this psalm. Because like when you stop to think about it, just these first verses, these first five verses, can anyone relate to that? Like, have you ever had a time where things have gotten really dark in your life and you cry out to God and you seem like you're just coming up empty? You know, where you're doing all the right things. You're reading scripture, you're coming to God in prayer, you're making sure that there's nothing in your life that you're grasping onto, but you're coming open-handed before God. You're coming in need of him, like this picture of open-handed, like God, I just need you in such a great way. And God just seems silent. He seems like he's not even there. You're just coming up empty. I mean, look, I have talked to a lot of people in this season since everything really shut down around March 11. And I've talked to all kinds of people who are just hurting right now. You know, I was having a conversation with a guy earlier this week who was saying, you know, I feel like since that time in March, like there's just this weight on my shoulders. Anybody feel that way? Or like there's just this cloud that just seems to be over me all the time wherever I go. I've talked with other people like about their spiritual life with God right now. And they'll say words like, I feel like I'm just floating. Like I'm just out in the middle of the ocean floating and I can't see land in any direction and I'm just being taken by the current. You know, this weight, this cloud, this drifting and floating that we end up feeling in the midst of the season. Let's be honest, 2020 has been crazy. I mean, global pandemic. You know, I mean, systemic injustice that we see happening in the world, job loss that's taking place at an incredible level, people hurting because of losing finances, sickness that's taking place in people's lives. And it's not all just COVID related, but all of it seems to be affected by COVID. You know, people I know who have loved ones who have been sick and in the hospital, they haven't been able to spend time with them. People who I know who have had loved ones who have died in this season. And funerals haven't been able to happen. And the way that people have been able to gather and grieve has not been able to take place. I've talked to people whose marriages are struggling because of the amount of time that they're together. Everything just seems tense. I've talked to different couples I know who were engaged, whose engagements have been broken off in this season just because of the tense stress of everything that's been going on. I talked to people who were lonely because they don't have anyone to be able to really spend time with. It's difficult to actually get time to gather together. And so we're in this season, and so we read scripture, and we pray, and we cry out to God. And it can seem sometimes like we're just coming up empty. It's not getting better. I mean, if anything, like it seems like things could be getting worse. So what does Asaph do in the midst of this time? Well, it says in verse 5, he says, well, I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. Like he's thinking back to the past. Let me ask you, anybody been thinking at all about the past during this season? Like you just sort of in the back of your mind every once in a while, you're remembering back to like February of 2020 or before that. You know, you're thinking back to times where things were going a little bit better, before we had to wear masks, before social distancing was the phrase of the day, before we had to use hand sanitizer and wipe down our groceries, you know, before when you actually could just go and like hug someone. You see, in difficult situations and circumstances, we can easily be people who in the midst of those times, we think back to times before when things were easier, when life was simpler, when it seemed like everything was going well. We easily go back to those places. And then Asaph even takes it to another level as we take a look at these next verses. He goes to a place of questioning God. Verse 6 says this, I remember my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? So, see, things really start to get dark here. So all of a sudden, like Asaph starts to question God, six different questions. And the thing is, these questions, they're not just questioning the actions and work of God. They begin to actually question the character of God. Like in this whole season, like he's not just, like think about it, he's not just saying, God, how could you? Or God, why did this happen? Or why in the world is this taking place? He goes to a place of asking questions, which we easily go to, of asking questions like, God, do you really love me? God, are you really a God of justice? God, is your mercy really never ending? God, are you sure you're not just getting sick of forgiving me all the time? We begin to get to this place of where we start to ask questions that are deep and dark and question the character of God. This is the first 9 verses of Psalm 77 by Asaph. And the curtain closes on the first half of the musical. It's dark, isn't it? What's taking place here in this section of scripture? Like, what's the big picture of what's really happening? Well, Asaph, he's lamenting. Asaph is crying out to God. Lament could be defined as a passionate expression of like grief, pain, sorrow, that type of stuff going on in our lives. And this is what we see Asaph doing. He's crying out in the midst of the pain and struggle of everything going on in his life. And he does it really descriptive and really real and really raw. And the amazing thing is that it's in scripture. Think about that for a minute. Asaph is crying out in a way that's not pretty right now. And he's a spiritual leader of the day. You know, worship leader in the tabernacle. And God made sure that it was in scripture. In other words, God wasn't one who just made sure that we kind of like erased the parts that didn't look all that pretty. He made sure that it was in there. You see, that should say something to us. If Asaph can be a spiritual leader and have the feelings and anger and frustration and questions that he's having in this moment, and God can feel completely comfortable having that in his word, don't you think it might be okay for us to lament as well? Don't you think it might be okay for us to come with our real pain and sorrow and grief and wrestling and questioning with God without feeling like we're going to offend him in some week? Look, weeks ago, Pastor Charles actually talked about this some as we looked at Psalm 42. You might want to go back and watch that message again as he talks about it. He does an incredible job of unpacking this idea. But my question to you is, you got anything that you need to lament right now? Is there anything going on in your life since the time of March that you've been discouraged with? Anything you feel like you've lost? Anything that you're questioning? Or you're frustrated with, or you're wrestling with? See, because for some of us, we feel like we're doing something wrong if we come to God with those type of feelings. For others of us, like, we're people who just tend to be really grateful, and that's amazing. I think that's a gift from God if you're that type of a person. You're a glass half full, grateful person. But the thing that gratitude can do is actually can cause us to kind of ignore or invalidate the feelings that are going on inside of us. We might be dealing with comparative suffering of the person. You might be the person who's looking at your life and you go, well, in comparison to this person I know, or these people in this country, or this grouping of people, I don't have anything to complain about. So therefore, I'm just going to push all my feelings down because in comparison to them, I have it really good. Look, that's a great gift. But God still opens and gives us license to be able to come to him, to beat on his chest with the feelings and emotions, the frustration, the anger, the disappointment, the loss, all of these things that we deal with. He desires for us to come and lament. But here's the thing. He doesn't just want us to stay there. He opens the door for us to come. But he doesn't desire for us to just simply make a home, you know, lamenting all the time. God doesn't want us to pitch a tent in the world of lament. He wants us to stop, you know, because in the same way that some people push it off, they never do anything with it. There are other people who just simply live in that place lamenting all the time. Asaph is able to turn the corner. He's able to, all of a sudden, as we see the second half of the musical begin, intermission is over, and somehow, some way, Asaph is coming out looking like a different character. Listen to this for just a minute. Verse 10, let's go there together. It says, "Then I thought, to this I will appeal." Okay, to what? What's Asaph going to appeal to? What's going on in his heart that's beginning to give him hope for the future? What is he turning to? Because, man, the decision that he makes here, like the future of where this is going, it hangs in the balance of where he's headed. He says, "Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High God stretched out his right hand." Okay, when God stretches out his right hand, this is figurative imagery of the power and strength of God. Anytime that you see that in scripture anywhere, it's a picture of the strength and power of the way God is working. What's Asaph saying here? He's saying, "To this I will appeal. I'm going to remember the places in the past of the power and strength of the Lord. I'm going to remember God's track record." He goes on to unpack that even more. He says this, verse 11, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph." What's happened? Do you remember Asaph of verses 1-9? And then all of a sudden he comes out in the second half looking like a completely different character with a completely different tune of all of a sudden praising God for the strength that he has shown in the past. He is gaining strength and encouragement from remembering the deeds of God in the past. Now, we've got to stop and think, why would that encourage him? It's because he understood that God is a God who never changes. You see, there's a theological word, big theological word, that kind of unpacks this idea. It's that God is immutable. Immutable just simply means that God is unchanging. In other words, like, God has never learned anything. God has never improved himself in some way. God has never changed his opinion on a particular subject. God is all-knowing, all-powerful from all time. There is never something new about him. He is unchanging. Therefore, he can find hope in the God of the past, knowing that that God is unchanging. When Asaph begins to think of the fact that God is forgiving, that God is merciful, that God is gracious, that God is just, and seeing the way that has worked in the past, think about it. Those questions that he was asking in verses 7-9, all of a sudden, his questioning in that area, it just dissipates because of his realization, his remembering the fact that God never changes. God's love never diminishes. God's justice never stops. God's forgiveness never runs dry. God's mercy is never depleted. God is one who desires to give us these things in the same way that he did in all the stories that we read all throughout the scriptures. In fact, the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, God says, "I, the Lord, I do not change." In Hebrews chapter 13, it says that Jesus, when he was being talked about as God, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. And so therefore, we can count on him. It all has to do with remembering. And Asaph goes on to remember a specific place that gives him incredible encouragement. He says this in verse 16. "The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and they writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the world when your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Okay, little vacation Bible school lesson here. He's remembering back to the time of the exodus of the Israelite people from the tyranny and oppression that they had dealt with for hundreds of years underneath the Egyptians as they were their slaves. The Israelites had been under the oppression of the Egyptians for hundreds of years, and then finally God raises up this man named Moses. Moses, who he sends to the leader of the Egyptians, to Pharaoh, and says, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh's not interested. And so then all of a sudden, remember, the plagues start to happen to the Egyptian people, things like frogs and locusts and boils and all of these crazy things that take place. And then finally, after all of these different plagues that happened, Pharaoh finally relents and lets the Israelite people finally leave. And they are led by Moses and Aaron out of Egypt until finally where they get to the edge of the Red Sea. And it's at this point that Pharaoh changes his mind, says, "No, I'm not interested." Sends his army out to go and get the Israelite people to recapture them and bring them back to a place of slavery. And that's where we pick up the story. If you haven't read this story in a long time, you just need to set aside some time to go read a chunk of Exodus. Exodus 14 is where we're looking at today. Exodus 14, starting with verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert." Okay, do you see what's taking place here? Like, the Israelites, they're crying out to God. They're totally questioning God and Moses in their leadership. They're thinking back to the good old days where they were in slavery in Egypt, wishing they could go back to that time. And then Moses speaks. Verse 13, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Kind of reminds me, this place in Exodus, of another psalm that we looked at back in Psalm 46, right at the beginning of COVID, that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Let's continue. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the waters so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." And this is exactly what took place. God worked on his timing because of his character and strength. And all of a sudden, as Moses, can you imagine being here in this moment, watching this take place, raises his hands, and the waters of the Red Sea completely part, creating a dry highway right through the Red Sea for the Israelites to cross. And as they get to the other side, the Egyptian army follows them in, and the waters close on top of them, destroying them forever. You see, what do you think was going through the mind of the Israelite people who had just been questioning Moses, crying out to God, remembering the glory days of the past? You see, I think that in that moment, they had a little bit of a perspective change to where God became really, 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 really big. And their problems, well, they started to get a little smaller. You see, I believe that Asaph is remembering this story because as he remembers God in his power and in his character, who is unchanging, he remembers this story. God in his mind gets really, really, really big. And the things that he is struggling with, they just start to get smaller. The key to it is remembering. Remembering the past can give us confidence to move through the present and the future. Kind of reminds me of something we've been going through with our family. So we've been having conversations with my daughters because, Rachel and I are 10 days from being empty nesters. It's unbelievable. We cannot believe that we're at this season of life. But within the next 10 days, Hannah, our daughter, who's a junior at the University of Georgia, is headed back to Athens. And then just a few days after that, we are taking Leah to her freshman year at Iowa State University in Ames. Now, We don't know how long we're going to be empty nesters. It could be that they're there for 2 weeks and then they're back and we're no longer empty nesters. But we're going to enjoy it while we have it. And then look forward to the time where they're coming back. Girls, I love you. I know you're watching right now. So, but here's the thing. During this COVID season, it's been crazy trying to figure out the details because Georgia's changed. Iowa State's changed. Iowa State's going early. And so our plan was to take Hannah back to Athens, get her moved out of one apartment, moved into another apartment, and then come home, have a little bit of time, and then take Leah to move into her dorm for the first time in Iowa State. But now the two dates are almost on top of each other, and there's no way we have time to be able to move Hannah into Georgia and get back and get Leah into her dorm at Iowa State. So Rachel and I, we were talking, do we divide and conquer? How does this work? And Hannah said to us, she's like, hey, Mom and Dad, I can do this on my own. I mean, if I can head back, and if I need you, I'll call you, and I know you'll come. It just reminded us, because Rachel and I, we've been kind of nostalgic in this moment as we've been thinking back to when the girls were little, you know, since we're about to be empty nest. And we were remembering back to Hannah and the way she was when she was young. Because when Hannah was young, by the way, I got her permission to share all this. Hannah was the most fearful child that I'd ever been around. Like, she would just be so nervous anytime that Rachel and I would leave. It made bringing her to church and putting her in the nursery really difficult. And it continued on. Like in particular, her first year of elementary school, kindergarten. Like, we showed up the first day, and there are all kinds of parents who are there. And, you know, for the first couple days with nervous kids, parents will walk their kids into the room and get them situated before they leave. Well, we walked Hannah into school every day from September through March, because she was uncomfortable going in on her own. We knew all the teachers by first name. All the hall monitors would be like, hey, Hannah, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Metzger, you know, and we would walk her in every day through the first semester and half of the second semester. We would bring her into her kindergarten room. We'd get her set on her nice little carpet square. She's hugging Teddy. And we would look at her, and she would every day start to get teary-eyed and say, honey, you know what? You're going to have a great day. Now, inside, we're thinking, she's probably never going to move out. We should probably homeschool her. And then for college, we'll figure out the university of home. We'll get t-shirts made. And then someday when she gets married, her husband will move in with us. And this will just be the way that it is. We were pretty sure that's what was going to happen. So, but we would say to her every day, honey, you're going to have a great day. And listen, after school, we're going to be here. We can't wait to see you. And we would leave, and she would lament, and then finally pull it together and have a good day. And at the end of the day, we would be there. Now, something happened during that time between September and March. Rachel and I developed with her a track record. We started to develop confidence in her. She started to all of a sudden feel more comfortable as we would leave. You know, and that started to bleed over in other areas of her life. When she would get together with friends for a play date, and then when she would go to a friend's house for a sleepover, when she would end up going, you know, on a school trip, or then on a church retreat, and finally on missions trips to other areas of the country and then other areas of the world. And finally, she decided for college that she'd move 13 hours away to the University of Georgia, where she says to us, hey, Mom and Dad, I can go back and do this on my own because I know if I need you, you'll be there. Because see, I remember the track record. You see, it's all about remembering. You know, you see, like, her perspective changed when she remembered our track record from the past. You see, everything for Asaph changed. His perspective changed when he remembered the track record of God in the past. The one who had worked, who was faithful and forgiving and merciful and just and loving beyond our comprehension. To where he could look back to the ways that God had worked in his life and the way that God had worked through Scripture, and he could find confidence. See, that's the thing about Scripture. These stories that we have in the Bible, they're not just meant to be informational. They're meant to encourage us, to build our confidence, to build our faith in a God who is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is one who we can find peace in through the circumstances that we walk through in life because of the way that we've seen him work. In other words, we can find peace in the present by remembering God's power in the past. Let me say that again for the people in the back row. We can find peace in the present by remembering God's power in the past. Like, I don't know what the things are that you're dealing with in your life, but my guess is that you probably have some things that you need to lament. There are probably things that you need to cry out to God for. What are those things? But then, what are the ways that you've seen God work in the past? In your own life, what are your favorite Bible stories in scripture that don't just inform you of who God is, but build this encouragement, this confidence, your faith in who God is because he is unchanging? You know, there's a saying that people use a lot of times. I'm sure you've heard it before, that hindsight is 20/20. In other words, sometimes what I'm looking at in the future, it's kind of a fog. But when I'm able to look back at a situation, I see like the way that things worked. I understand why it happened. I get the way the pieces fit together. Because when we look back, hindsight is 20/20. Well, I think the thing that we learn from Psalm 77 that applies to our lives right now, we need hindsight in 2020. Because this year, it's been a little crazy. And my guess is it's gonna stay that way for a while. And the future's a fog. We don't know exactly what we're walking into. And there can be times in this season where we feel like we cry out to God and he just doesn't seem to be coming through the way we'd like him to. But we can be people. When we have hindsight in 2020, we can be people who find peace in the present by remembering God's power in the past. Let me pray for us. Lord God, thank you so much for your track record that we're able to see in Scripture. God, I think about my life. I thank you for the ways that you've worked in my life to remind me of how great you truly are, how loving and caring and merciful and forgiving and just you are. And God, I thank you for the track record of Scripture that I can look back to. God, would you help us as people not just to look at these as Bible stories, but as ways that can encourage us, build our confidence and our faith in what is true about you. Thank you that you are unchanging. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, as we remember that, would you give us peace in our present circumstances and situations because of your track record, because of your power in the past? We pray this in Christ's name. And all of God's church said, amen.
Wow. After a message like that, we wanted to take some time to lament together. To look at the different areas in our lives or the different things that are going around us and to go before God with them together and lament. And like Matt was saying, to lament is to express grief or sorrow or pain or disappointment in some way. Basically, it's to acknowledge that God is big enough and his chest is big enough for you to approach him and to actually beat on it. And that's what we're gonna do. And I don't know about you, but for me, I don't know if I've ever fully given myself the permission to lament and acknowledge that that's something that God invites us to. So right now, we're gonna lament. And like Matt was saying, all of us probably have something that we can lament on, whether it's loss associated with COVID-19 or injustices or racism that we've either seen or experienced, or maybe there's something going on in your family or something going on with a loved one, whatever it may be. Together, we're gonna go before God in all rawness and honesty and lament. And if it's helpful, we have two questions that are going to be on your screen for you to consider as you lament. The first question is this: what made you want to get on your knees and cry out to God this week? And the second is, who are you currently grieving for? Or what are you grieving that you want to bring to God right now? So Let's take a time together to lament. And now, as Asaph does in Psalm 77, and as Matt encouraged us to do, we're going to actually together remember. We're going to remember the different ways that God acted in Scripture. We're going to remember the different ways that God has shown His power and His character to us in different ways in the past. Together, wherever we're at, we're going to remember. And again, if it's helpful, we have a couple questions that we're going to invite you to consider as you do. The first question is, what story or passage from the Bible reminds you of God's goodness or strength? And the second is, in your own life, how has God revealed His faithfulness and power toward you? Let's remember together.
Blackhawk, there's a lot in this world to be lamenting. And I feel what Michael said, personally, it's hard for me to give myself space to do that. But I am excited because there is still so much to praise Him for. Did you wake up this morning? You can praise Him for that. There's so much. So sing this new song with me, and let's praise the Lord together for His goodness.
Shaking, 'cause I've seen what you can do.
Amen and amen. He keeps on getting better, and he is good to us, regardless if we can see it or experience it. That's the reality. And I love the invitation that Matt gave us, the invitation that we can find in Psalm 77, that no matter what we're going through, we can lament. And we can also remember. So no matter what you're going through right now, or no matter what will come against or come in your past, in your path this week, you're invited to both lament and remember. And I know for me, there's been a scripture that as I've been lamenting, as I've been remembering in my past up till now, I'll kind of move towards to be an anchor. And I want to give this scripture to you that perhaps it could be the same thing. It's found in the book of Zephaniah. It's this, that the Lord your God, he's with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will surround you with his love. He will rejoice over you with loud singing. Blackhawk, have a great week, and we'll see you next week.